This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Welcome back, Mitch. It's been a while since we've sat down at the table together.
That's true. However, it will still be a while longer till that happens because we are not at the same table. We're not even in the same state.
No,
this
we're not.
This is Mitch coming to you from afar here in Radio Land for another episode of Tech Talks. And we've got some great stuff coming up for you. We've got coverage from E3, including something involving Pokemon. So you know Grant and I are going to lose our collective brains over this. Lots of good things are happening with relation to E3. And you said last week, Grant, that the week before was the Worldwide Web Developers Conference, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right.
So we'll also be probably talking about some of that. So stick around. We've got a great episode planned, and we're probably going to dive right in, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I would like to go straight in.
All right. Well, El Granto, what is our first article for the evening?
So the first thing that I wanted to get to before we got into the juicy stuff, I wanted to take a quick detour. It's been a fast-paced summer. It was the Google I.O. conference, and then it was the Worldwide Developer Conference for Apple. And now we're back around to E3, which is the entertaining expo. It has a lot...
Electronic Entertainment Expo, I think.
Yeah. And so it's got a lot of games, video games, consoles, things like that. It's definitely one of the flashiest ones this summer, but I wanted to take a quick detour back to Google and kind of round out I.O. that we first talked about a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. And then we had to take a hiatus for some private reasons. Now we're back, though, and let's finish up the I.O. discussion that we began 3 weeks ago, I believe.
I believe so.
All right.
So Google is beginning to dabble, I guess you could say, in computer chip design, which is a big distinction for Google. As it is, the top three chip-making companies in the world have a combined revenue of something along the lines of $130 billion a year. So it's an industry that has a high cap, but it's also already very saturated. There's a lot of players in the computer chip game already. So the idea of Google, even well-established Google, throwing their hat in is a bit surprising to me.
Yeah, especially Google has always been known less for taking over existing markets so much as creating new markets. So this is an odd step for them to be taking, but I think overall it should be fine. I'm not generally really concerned with it.
It does mark an interesting point for them, because once they get into chip design, they're also talking and have talked and did talk earlier this summer about the conceptually bringing more of the process of the Pixel phones in-house. So they used to have the Nexus line, and that was replaced with the Pixels, and now they're talking about the next generation of Pixels being more and more made in-house with Google-branded stuff. And what does that remind you of, Mitch? Because it seems very Apple-esque to me that they would, you know, dive in with their own parts and pieces.
Yeah, but the thing about Apple, does Apple make their own cameras? I know they make their own chips, but, for example, their cameras, which a lot of people use as an interesting metric for smartphones nowadays. is how high quality the camera is in your smartphone. Google does, if I'm not mistaken, they make for their Pixel line, they make their own camera lenses, correct?
Elements of it, at least. I don't know how much of it is pre-manufactured.
Fair. I guess it does definitely seem Apple-esque. I don't think that's going to be a bad thing. I don't think that's going to mess with Google's independence whatsoever, the fact that they're doing this practice. If anything, I think it's good because it gives them more control over the supply of the Pixel line, which has been wildly popular and very difficult to get a hold of because of limited availability. So I think that that's going to really help take a step in the right direction for upping the availability.
Certainly.
Of certain Pixel phones.
Yeah. So. Where there are some companies that intentionally create scarcity of their product, especially a common practice among companies that make video games, that they have that kind of intentional induced scarcity to keep their prices high.
Yeah.
We haven't seen Google, as far as I know, ever intentionally do it. I know that they have run into manufacturing problems before as far as not being able to keep up with the rate at which, especially that first round of Pixels, were so popular that they had trouble keeping them on the shelves, keeping them stocked. But that's really what I wanted to cover there. It's interesting that they start to reach more and more into this kind of broad... it's not really a monopolization because they don't own the majority of the market, but
the fact that they're getting more hands-on.
They're getting much more hands-on in hardware. That's what's unusual. Mm-hmm. A company that was built and was through and through only software for so many years is coming back around to the idea of producing their own hardware in-house.
Yeah. So... I'm curious to see where this goes. It should be interesting.
I am as well, and I'm interested to see how this shakes out from here. I know you had something, probably several things from E3 this week, so if you want to jump talk it, feel free to take the reins.
So one of the biggest things that I noticed from... E3 that has been so fascinating is the fact that they've come out and said, listen, we're going to make a Pokemon core RPG game for the Nintendo Switch. That is the last core Pokemon RPG that was brand new was Pokemon Sun and Moon for the 3DS. And really, Nintendo hasn't really done a console core RPG before, other than, you know, with the exception of Pokemon Colosseum, which did have a plot line, unlike Pokemon Stadium, its predecessor for the Nintendo 64. The GameCube Pokemon Colosseum is definitely one of my favorite Pokemon games because it was the first time they sat there and messed with the traditional Pokemon formula of, okay, get a starter Pokemon, there's 8 gems, go get all the gem badges, go fight the Elite Four, and et cetera, et cetera. And that's more or less what we are understanding the setup of this Nintendo Switch game to be, is one of the traditional formulated Pokemon games. And so I find it very interesting that we're finally seeing this happen. Really on a console. I think the reason that they're doing it is because the console itself is portable. We've covered the Nintendo Switch multiple times. You even have one at this point, correct?
Yes.
So I'm not super concerned about it. I'm curious to see whether or not they're going to follow the formula of... Pokemon Sun and Moon, if they consider that to be the new core RPG formula going forward, or what, but it should be interesting.
Yeah.
The release date on it, to round out my information about this, will be, they've said it won't be until next year. So they're waiting well into about a year of production with the Switch, and they're taking time to allow any glitches with hardware or software with the Switch to be ironed out before bringing in such a big name title, which I think is good.
Yeah. I think so far they've been pretty successful with the Switch. Largely, I think they've done well with the hype. I think it's kind of been presented well.
Unlike the Wii U. The Wii was a very successful. Obviously, the GameCube has been probably their most successful console as far as in terms of popularity and user loyalty. The Wii was very limited for the time frame it came out. You know, it came out in the era of co-op gaming with Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, and then later on PlayStation 4. It was more the PlayStation 3 era. So online multiplayer had come and to stay when the Wii came out, and the Wii really did not use that feature. I mean, it had internet capability, but they did not use it for multiplayer. There were very few internet multiplayer Wii games. Mainly because I think it was just difficult. I don't think Nintendo really had a good grasp on how to handle multiplayer at that point. So the Wii U comes along after that, and I think they've seen their problems. The Nintendo 3DS had come out, and they had definitely made that system with the Nintendo Shop and everything able to be used with internet capability. I think that the Wii U is where they finally realized the importance of internet gaming and have come to acknowledge that. And I'm really looking forward to the Switch, because the Switch is acting the same way.
Yeah. I think they hit their stride really well on this. I think they learned from the advantages and disadvantages of their last three consoles and have really rounded that out into something that looks and feels really nice.
Mm-hmm. So, with that, do you want to cover another article, or are we ready for a music break?
I think we might be ready for a couple of minutes of music here, so I'll swing back around to some tunes. We'll go from there, but thank you for joining us here on Tech Talks, here on WRFL, Lexington, your only alternative left. Do you have anything that you want to say before we head out?
No, I'm good.
All right.
Actually, I do have one thing. Let me ask you this. Do you know if a ant would trip if it took an ant acid?
I see. What?
It was a bad pun. It was intentionally a bad pun. I'm trying to get you back for all the time that we've had off of my bad puns. So with that, let's head back to the music, everyone.
All right. We'll be back in just a few minutes here on Tech Talks on WRFL. All right. With that, we will be headed out for the evening. Thank you for keeping it locked all the way to the left here with us.
Most importantly, thanks for tuning in and teching out with us here on Tech Talks.
Yes. Thank you for tuning in and teching out. We will see you next week.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.